Brother Mitchell, when he was talking about, when he was giving the example, so for, like for example, God using the spirit, the lying spirit.
The lying spirit.
You used that term. I don't remember the term. That is, and they said it was God's. It wasn't providence.
Okay.
I don't remember the exact word that they used, but I don't think it was providence. You used that term.
Okay. Let me see. And it relates to...
It was explaining that aspect of God.
Of God.
Yeah, it was explaining.
I believe along there I pointed out that whatever pleases God, it is right.
Right.
Along there I pointed out, and it is something we need to... I wish I will remember that we have a Wednesday night discussion where each one can participate. We ought to understand that the moral God rail that we as frail, sinful human live by, God, as God, does not live by those guardrails. Let me explain. And it's important that we get it, because it can create, it can create a lot of confusion. I use this as an illustration in the past and use it now again. Once Ian Boyne and myself were discussing, and I was on this very point about God commanding King Saul to go and kill the Amalekite, destroy them. And in that slaughter, God commanded that infants should also be killed. They have never seen infants. And Ian Boyne says, usually refer to me as Pastor Mitchell. Every preacher is a pastor to them. Mark, you Christian, as most of you know, the Bible used the word pastor, evangelist, and these words in specific ways, describing specific. Yeah. Anyway, he said to me, Pastor Mitchell, that gives me as much difficulty as it gives you. I said, it doesn't give me any difficulty. And that's a fact. You see, I have come to understand that anything that pleases God, it cannot be wrong. Now, the same King Saul or David who just take it upon themselves to go and slaughter some Amalekites out of vindictiveness, hate, they would sin. But when God gave a direct command, say, go and do this, they did not sin. They were just carrying out God's command. Man, the police or soldier acting as an agent of the state and acting within the law. It's not that the police or the soldier is using their uniform and their capacity as a police on duty to go and take revenge on somebody that he or she thought did him wrong. The police is on duty, or the soldier, and they are acting on behalf of the state. The police was in a confrontation where he had to, in defending himself, in carrying out his duty, probably have to shoot two or three people. But he was carrying out his duty. He has not sinned. He beareth not the sword in vain. But that same police, acting out of hate, vindictiveness, using the law for his own purpose, he sinned and will be called up by God to give an account. So, when the Almighty God commanded King Saul to go and destroy the Amalekites, is that God's will? Yes, for that command, that's God's will. Was it right for Saul to go and kill the Amalekites and the infant? Yes. In fact, Brother Wilson, he sinned because he did not do the job completely. Are we all there? He did not do the job completely. He probably saw Amalek, the king, and decided to save his life. They brought back, he said the people do it, but he's a leader. You know, brought back some of the best sheep and cow. Notice this now. This is like a paradox. Where he brought back the nice sheep and cows, not for themselves, but to offer it as a sacrifice to God. In our eyes, that looked good. What a wonderful thing Saul and the people did. They brought back these nice cow and sheep, probably thousands of them, not for themselves, but to offer it in sacrifice to God. God didn't want that sacrifice. They sinned. So all of this, Brother Wilson, when you read passage like that and you put down your Bible and you think, it ought to help us to understand the God with whom we are dealing and to learn to make distinction where distinction ought to be made. So when the Almighty God decided to use the lying spirit, from my understanding, a spirit that special, you know, always. What you got from the passage is that these spirit, their specialty is lying. And the Almighty God says, they will be lying spirit in the mouth of Ahab's prophet, false teachers. You know, while we speak, one of the things you are to get, the Almighty God has always looked down quite severely on those who alter his word. It tells us, don't take God's word for granted. Don't, you see, because Ahab and Jezebel were determined to have their own way in Israel. Jezebel was just evil, just wicked, and have no regard or respect for God. Ahab was a weak man. When he didn't have his way, he come and cry in the lap of his wife, because he wanted the vineyard. Where the guy name again? Nabal. Nabal have a nice inherited from his father. And Ahab look over and just love how Nabal kept the vineyard and all of that. And he offered a price. And Nabal told him, I can't sell it, I inherit it. And he went home crying to Jezebel, my God, what wrong with you? You know? And she got it. She got him killed and took away the vineyard. That's the way Ahab was weak. Couldn't take a stand. So when the Almighty God decided, well, the Almighty God had indicated to Ahab previously, don't go up to Ramoth Gilead. At that time, it was Israel against Judah. That is, 10 tribes, if my memory serves right, 10 tribes against the 2 tribes. I think Judah and Benjamin. Benjamin, that's right. Judah and Benjamin. Benjamin formed one part of the kingdom, and the other 10 tribes over which Ahab was formed the other side. In the first place, that was wrong when they divide the kingdom. But Ahab was king over, I think, the 10 tribes. And God had indicated to him, don't go up to Ramoth Gilead and fight. But Ahab was bent. And you see, a lot of time we are bent in having our own way. In spite of lesson and teaching we get, that is not the path that God wants you to walk. But we are bent on just having our own way. The Almighty God and those situations send us strong delusion. So when we read about the lying spirit, because as you will read the context, it's like God is looking for some qualified employee. And he said, who will go up and persuade Ahab for me? And it's like, this spirit come, and it's like God said, no, you are not qualified. And this one, and then finally, these lying spirit, and you get the idea that the specialty is lying. When those spirit put in you to lie, you lie good. And God says, in effect, you are employed. Go up and be successful at it. God sent lying spirit, yes, to carry out God's work.
Mm-hmm. All right, so what I wanted a little clarity on, not necessarily clarity, but explain, a little bit more explanation, because I understand that whatever the Lord
does God is right.
It is right.
Yes.
What, it's just a pity I can't remember the term that they use for that characteristic of the Almighty God, because I...
Sovereign.
Sovereignty, right.
Sovereign, the sovereignty of God.
God. Right, so I wanted now you to make the contrast or the comparison or the parallel where how does God's holiness, because I know he was talking about holiness, so that's what came to my mind this morning.
Very good, O'Neill.
Yeah, that is
the holiness of God came in the portion of the lesson where I want to place it at the right place. I'm coming. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, sorry. Yes. Okay. Yes, the holiness of God comes in with Romans chapter 8, verse 26 through 27. That's where I brought in the holiness of God. Romans 8, verse 26. If somebody will read it, I will point out the exact point at which I speak about the holiness of God.
Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God.
Okay, let me just read it from the Amplified. So too, the Holy Spirit comes to our aid and bears us up in our weaknesses. For we do not know what prayer to offer, nor how to offer it worthily. I like how the Amplified put it. Listen this again. For we do not know what prayer to offer, nor how to offer it worthily as we ought. But the Spirit Himself goes to meet our supplication and pleads in our behalf with unspeakable yearning and groaning too deep for utterance. So, in a nutshell, what the passage is teaching, that the best of us, because of our limitation as human beings, a lot of times that limitation comes with lack of knowledge of God's nature, lack of knowledge in respect to the implication and the demand of God's holiness. So we will go to God in prayer and in sincerity with things that sometimes are contrary to God's will and God's nature. But when the Almighty God is aware of our genuineness, our sincerity, the Holy Spirit is given the freedom to, should I use the word, remodel our requests in ways that our prayer becomes conformable to the holy nature of God. Where that prayer left up to the way we say, it would not get God's response. But when the Holy Spirit takes that same prayer of yours or mine or any true child of God, angel which, from the implication of the passage, will know what is and what is not acceptable to God. When the angel take that prayer and fix it up, that prayer become acceptable to God. Why in the first place my prayer need the Holy Spirit fixing? The holiness of God makes it that anything which gets to God, reaches God, it must reach a certain standard. That is God's holiness. We have had quite a few lessons here over the past year or two on the holiness of God.
within the past week or two, we have had a lesson. I believe it was Brother Grant also brought us a lesson. So, what the passage is saying to us, Brother O'Neill, is that for some of our prayer, left up to themselves, as sincere and as well-meaning as we are, those prayer would never reach God's ears. But when the Holy Spirit takes those same prayer that you and I word to God, when the Holy Spirit takes it and fix it up, because that's exactly what the passage is giving you here. But the Holy Spirit himself goes to meet our supplication. When we make that prayer, the Holy Spirit takes it and fix it up to make it presentable to God. That is a reflection of the holiness of God. Not any and anything given by the most sincere brother or sister is acceptable to God. But the Almighty God in his mercy provide help for his people. Go on, Brother Oni. In the case of making sure that Ahab meet his destruction, I'm going to repeat that because you might be saying, must be a mistake Brother Mitchell is making. No. In the Almighty God, the Holy Righteous God, making sure that Ahab meets his destruction when he goes up to Ramoth Gilead. The Almighty God wanted to make sure that whoever persuade Ahab to go up to Ramoth Gilead, whoever does it for God, because here is a point we must never forget. God had already indicated to Ahab, don't go up to Ramoth Gilead. And with all the bidding of the Almighty God, Ahab was bent in going. And it is under those situations that the Almighty God, as if it were, saying, okay, you are bent on having your own way. You are bent on pushing my directive one side. Okay, Ahab, I'm going to help you to go. I'm going to make sure you go. That's in effect God's attitude. But it's not so much while the holiness of God comes in, because God's vengeance and severity is a manifestation of God's holiness. You see. So it is God's holiness, not in the positive way, but in dishing out judgment upon Ahab. That's God's holiness on display right there. And this is, notice, if you all have question, hold it. I appreciate your question. Notice, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, let me have from around verse 10. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2.
And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness,
with all deceivableness of unrighteousness.
In them that perish.
Wait, you see, the passage is referring to disobedient and godly men and women who show no respect for the guidance and directive of God. Notice, in all deceivableness and righteousness.
In them God, that perish.
Wait, God, who this deceivableness of unrighteousness you are talking about? Those who are perishing, that is, they are heading towards hell, and the passage going to shine more light. Read on. In them that perish.
Because they receive not the love of the truth.
You see, men and women who don't love the truth. May I? Even when you fail from living up to the truth, you must respect the truth. That's right. Don't turn God's truth into something that it is not. But here he's dealing with men and women who don't love the truth. They don't want to hear the truth. They are perishing because they do not receive
not the love of the truth.
Of the truth that they might be saved. Read up.
That they might be saved.
Mm-hmm.
And for this cause.
For this reason. You see, if God acts a certain way, here he's explaining why he's so tough on these people on whom he will be sending strong delusion, strong deception. Uh-huh.
God shall send them strong delusion.
For this reason. What reason? They don't love the truth. Wait. Brothers and sisters, that refer to any truth that God has given to guide your life and guide my life. The truth about baptism. The truth about worship, how we are to worship God. All the truth that God has given us through the gospel to guide our lives. The Almighty God wants us to show respect for his truth, for his word. God shall send them strong delusion because they did not receive or they do not receive the love of the truth that they might receive. Read that.
That they should believe a lie.
Everybody hear that? Read that little part over again, brother. From verse 11. Uh-huh.
God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie.
Wait. Who going to send them strong deception?
God.
Remember, the word delusion means deception. And the Almighty God going to make the deception so strong that they're going to believe it. Well, God wants them to believe a lie. You know what? That's what they want to believe in the first place. They did not love the truth. And it is as if the holiness and righteousness and judgment of God is saying, okay, I send you truth. You not just disobeyed, you reject it, you trample on it, you try to make it something else. God says, okay, the lie that you love, or the false teaching, or the false doctrine that you love, I'm going to give you double dose. That's the holiness of God on display. God shall send them strong delusion. So, Brother O'Neill, that's exactly what we see in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 22, I believe that's where we were. Was it 2 Kings? Yeah, 2 Kings, that's the same, the very thing that Paul is discussing here about strong delusion. Here in 2 Thessalonians, Paul is just speaking about it. In 2 Kings, Numbers 22 is another one. That's right. When the Almighty God made the donkey talk.
Oh my God, God is a great God. Yeah. And the more you know God, is the more you should reverence God. Sorry, you know, the donkey talk and the man talk back to the donkey. No, because it's God opened the mouth of the donkey to talk. I would jump off that donkey and not stop, run. I'm riding a donkey and him talk. You crazy. But Balaam spoke back to the donkey. Showed that he was as crazy as anything else. But you know what? When we defy God's truth, anything is possible with us. All the negative things are possible. So we see in 2 Thessalonians, Paul wrote about strong delusion. In 2 Kings chapter 22 and Numbers 20, don't it's Numbers 22? That's how comes I remember it, you know. I remember that the two passages, the one in Kings and the one in Numbers, have to do with 22. We see strong delusion on display. Remember, in Thessalonians, it is spoken about the Holy Spirit directing Paul. But in Numbers and Kings, we see it on display. If you ever want to show a man or woman what strong delusion is, when you tell them about it in 2 Thessalonians, take them to 2 Kings 22. Take them to Numbers 22, and they will see it on display. So, Brother Wilson, in all of this, the lying spirit is strong delusion. It's the Almighty God reached the point of judgment upon those who show no respect for his word. And a lot of time we should remember passages like this, that in teaching men and women, a lot of time you or I are doing it on a one-to-one basis. We need some time to bring passages like this if we see they have the inclination to make the truth says what it is not saying, because they want to escape the responsibility that comes with the truth. Any question? Yes, brother.
So the members of the church, be careful that they don't have like false attitude when the church leaders make certain disciplinary matters based on the word of God, not based on their personal, but based on decisions to rule govern the church. And we just say, okay, it is Brother Fabian or Brother Gilbert after me, and you sort of justify it in a personalized way, rather than looking at it from it is God's word in terms of discipline, church discipline. Don't we run the same kind of problem then, where we believe the lie?
Very, very good, relevant, and important point, Brother Gilbert. Very important point. When disciplinary measure is taken based on what the Bible teaches, not based on just a faithful brother's impulse, or preacher's impulse, or the elder's impulse, but based, when disciplinary measure is taken, based on what is plainly taught in the Bible. When a brother or sister respond to that in a very subjective, personal way, let me encourage Christian to be careful. Because if that church brother, church leader, is acting on the teaching, plain teaching of God's word, what must be mindful is that God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, is with that person 100%. When you and I deal with it as if it is, that's the way the brother feel, that's the way the preacher or the elders feel, I don't agree with that. Brothers and sisters, it comes right along the line of what we have been talking about. We're be careful that God does not give you what you want. Very good point, Brother Gilbert. May I? When you are inclined to reject something, and especially because it is a disciplinary stand, when you are inclined to be mad about it and vex about it and whatever, find somebody that you think knows the Bible, not just a friend, but a person who respects the Bible, and let them sit down with you and explain passage that you might have a problem with. But above all, be careful that you do not reject something because it goes against your grain. It goes against what you want, what you like, how you see things, or how I see things. We have to be careful of that, because we will find ourselves on the wrong side of the Almighty God. So the point Brother Gilbert brought up, it is very important that when something happens that I feel or you feel it is not right, talk to a person who you think knows the Bible and will be honest and be above board with you. Because a lot of time, the thing that you or I might not feel satisfied with, a lot of time it's the very thing that the Almighty God wants done. And we have to make sure that we're not putting up resistance against God's directive. Yes, brother, Peter. Yeah. Everybody listen. Okay, what Brother Purity is saying, and that is right, that one of the areas, those of you who study the Bible know that the Almighty God lays down some very important and worthwhile step-by-step discipline to guide the church. Situation came up at Corinth where Paul speaks about those, he used the word esteem in what
I want to remember the word. Those who are, can't you not find among you least, it's a long, those who are least esteemed, it's something along that line. And what that, in effect, Paul was saying, you do not even need the highly esteemed brothers in the church to deal with that. Why is that important? That there are people then, as it is now, in the church, with the necessary knowledge. Are we all there? They have been around with Christ and his word long enough that they come to a better understanding of God's will than the person who just come in yesterday. And when the Bible gave the... Yes. Let me hear it. Yeah, of course. You all got it? You know, you all know there was some conflict there occurring. And Paul says, if you have some problem relating to things about this life, you do not need to have the highly esteemed in the church deal with it. Huh? Who you should call to deal with those secular business? Those who are least esteemed. And this give us a hint of the stratification in the church. That is, when the Bible laid down the qualification for both elders and deacons. Are we all there? Are we all there? You notice it laid down step-by-step principle. An elder must be married. Eh? Have children. Eh? His children, and that is talking, no doubt, about children who are still under his household rule, they must be properly behaved. Then when he touched deacon, he said, he used a term there, let these also be, nobody don't know that. Let these also be proven. That is, you do not put a person in the position if you do not give them the chance to prove themselves. Are we all there? So, there are so many places in the Bible that gives us the idea that you know, just run the church by the way you feel and impulsively and no. People who are placed our whole position to make decision affecting the souls of men and women and at the same time pleasing God, they are expected that over a period, they gain a certain degree of knowledge and they respect the word of God. That's what God laid down. And you know what? As long as we respect God's standard, the church will be better. Don't brush the standard aside. I've always illustrated with you all that if the prime minister become a member of the church tomorrow, and if the governor general become a member of the church, you do not start involving them in important decision making. Everybody get it? They don't have the knowledge.
Okay, yes, they are high profile from the social or the economic standpoint. Woo! That doesn't count in God's sight. They must spend time gaining knowledge. For example, an elder must be able to teach. Huh? We're hoping to have elders here someday. We have men who are somewhat qualified now, but a lot of time, as you have a brother who will reach coming up to qualification, then decided to migrate. That was the point that Brother Kidu made at the lectureship in Manigue a few months ago, how migration has affected the church. But God's willing, we hope to have elders ordained here. But we want to make sure we understand the business of men making decisions, even in the ladies' class. We must make sure that we have ladies who have gained some knowledge over time and that they show respect for the word of God. The preacher must be a growing person, gaining knowledge every day. You know, Brother Holt said under the tent here, and I could almost clap my hand or shout amen when he said it. If you do not like reading, don't take up preaching. Is that Bible? Well, we at least have Paul telling Timothy, give heed to reading. So, the point, you see, a lot of time we discuss things in men's class. Things that are important that we keep in mind to guide the church. And as a few weeks or a few months pass, it's like, sometimes the brothers is like, what we discuss and came to a conclusion 6 months ago, it's like, it no come. Let us be careful that things we learn that are based on the word of God, let us not treat it like it's somebody's opinion. It's not. Thank you all for your question. If you have any more questions, let it stay until next year.